This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
It's a wonderful time of the year. That's right. It's quarterly earnings season. I'm Harry Brooks, content manager for ETFs at LGIM. And today I'm joined by global equity strategist Lars Krekel to discuss Q3 earnings and what they tell us about the state of the consumer and the wider economy. This quarter, the big question is whether tighter central bank policy amid persistent inflation will lead us into recession and how consumers are responding to these pressures. Lars, before we get into the results themselves, what were analysts' expectations going into this year's Q3 season?
Yes, hello, Harry. Expectations, I would say, have been fairly moderate, fairly modest. Consensus forecasts from sell-side analysts aggregated up to the S&P 500 level were for earnings to grow about 3 to 4% compared to with Q3 last year. That's obviously a lot slower than the 30%, 40% growth rates that we had coming out of the pandemic recession. But those numbers were never sustainable. You know, that's something you only really get for a few quarters after a recession. And since then, we've been on a glide path of earnings growth slowing down. But 3 to 4% is also still a positive number. It's not that unusual for a late cycle phase in the economy. And you could say, given all the talk about recession earlier this year, perhaps it could easily have been worse as well.
So moderate rather than enthusiastic then. I remember early in the season, there were a few disappointing results from companies that are seen as bellwethers of consumer sentiment, making people worry that maybe even modest expectations might prove hard to beat. What, if anything, did we learn from those few early misses that we saw?
Yeah, I think that's right, Harry. The early reporters were not all bad, but I'd say overall, they were a little bit on the disappointing side this time around. You do always have to be careful to read too much into that relatively small sample of companies. You don't have representation necessarily from all sectors in the companies with an earlier quarter end. But I think it was striking that we had misses from companies in quite a few different sectors this time around. And we also had still quite a negative market reaction in most of those cases. So, it set a negative tone, I think, for the proper earnings season starting. But of course, we're now in a situation where we have a lot more data, a lot more companies have reported, and a lot more results to look at and think about.
Okay, so let's move into the meat of the earnings season now, starting with the big tech giants. Could you talk us through some of the hits and misses and where the results left sentiment on the sector in what's been a really tough year to date, with the Nasdaq down almost a third since the start of the year?
Yes, like you said, it's been a bad week for big tech earnings. Three out of the four big ones missed, you could maybe say four out of five if you still count Meta as big tech. And in all of those instances also, we've had quite negative market reactions on the back of those. I think for tech specifically, one thing we can take away from that is that it highlights the importance of diversification within the sector. And it's really been the mega cap tech companies that missed this time around and sold off as well, while the smaller cap tech stocks actually fared a lot better than that. And tech is such a big sector these days, with some extremely large market cap companies dominating some of the indices, that I think to capture the different qualities in terms of business exposures, the different regulatory risks associated with different parts of the sector and sentiment, it's important to diversify away from the large cap dominated indices. So what we try to do is we split our exposure between NASDAQ 100, which is very much dominated by the big tech companies, and also artificial intelligence ETF, which is a lot more focused on smaller cap names. So I think this earnings season has been a reminder that just putting all your eggs into these few big cap tech names is not the best way to go. Then overall for tech, or for the market even, I think we're still only at the beginning of markets pricing an earnings recession that we do expect. And tech business models are very diverse because it is such a broad sector. So you have some economically sensitive companies, particularly in the advertising space. We've seen a few last week. But you also have some structural growth stories that may be a little bit less economically sensitive in a recession. So I would expect when the market focus shifts towards broader earnings downgrades, that tech earnings will fall less than for the broader market. And that is also something we have seen play out in past cycles. So I think on a 3 to 6 month horizon, some of the earnings environment perhaps will make tech look a little bit better on a relative basis.
Interesting stuff. So aside from the tech sector, how has the season played out? What have we learned in a broad sense?
Yeah, I think the big picture message really is that it's been an okay earnings season. Yeah, it's been neither great nor terrible. If you look at the numbers themselves, around 65% or so of companies have beaten sell side analyst estimates on average by about 2.5%. Both of those numbers are not terrible, but they're certainly lower than normal. And yeah, in fact, the size of the beats, that is a little bit on the weaker side. That's one of the lowest beats that we have seen over the last decade. So yeah, we're still on track for about 10% revenue growth for the S&P 500. That's still quite an impressive number, and about 3% EPS or earnings growth, with margin contraction then making up the difference between those two again. So yeah, I think it looks like a below average earnings season with fewer beats, smaller beats against sell side analyst expectations than normal, but still with some positive growth to look at. And another statistic that I think has stood out for me from the earnings season is that despite sentiment by all accounts being very bearish over the last few weeks that we've had the earnings season going on, companies that have beaten have outperformed a lot less than normal after results. And those that have missed have underperformed a lot more than normal. So that's something we've seen in Europe and the US. And I would say that's not the kind of picture you would expect to see in a market that has already priced in a lot of bad earnings and a good chunk of an earnings recession. And you have to say that earnings broadly haven't been that bad yet, right? Most of that earnings downside is still to come. So I think it's consistent with the bear market so far, having been driven more by a derating rather than an earnings decline expectation.
Over the past couple of quarters, a phrase that we've heard used quite a bit is pricing power, meaning companies have been able to pass on their higher costs to us, the consumers. Is that a trend that we saw carry on into the third quarter?
By and large, I think the answer there is still yes, but it does seem to be getting a little bit more difficult for companies. We can see that in margins shrinking over the last few quarters, and we can also see it in surveys, you know, where companies are telling us that they are finding it more difficult or at least not as easy as previously to pass on higher costs. But at the moment, the economy and demand are still relatively strong, and therefore revenues are growing a lot. I mentioned 10% in Q3 earlier. And that just makes it a lot easier to cope with rising costs in that kind of strong revenue growth environment. But having said that, we do expect that will become much more difficult for companies as the economy slows. And our economics team does expect a recession to play out over the course of next year.
Are there any other sectors that are worth a mention? I'm thinking of perhaps the energy sector or consumer staples, aside from the tech companies. There are other sectors that, where we have an interesting view.
We've mentioned tech, of course. That clearly got the biggest headlines. Energy is probably worth mentioning. Mainly for delivering the strongest growth across all the sectors. Of course, on the back of the higher oil price, so perhaps not a huge surprise in itself. And then maybe the other part of the market, I think that's been interesting, is that cyclical sectors in general, so ones that are particularly sensitive to how well the economy is doing, they are still delivering above market average earnings growth at the moment. And this has slowed down a lot, that's true. And I would expect that to flip around over the next couple of quarters for them to lag behind the market as a whole. So far they've held up quite well. So far so good from their perspective.
Based on the numbers that we've seen this quarter, when would you expect analysts to begin cutting their forecasts? And, you know, are we talking here about slashes, or perhaps from what you've said, it sounds more like there might be trims rather than big cuts?
Yeah, I think that's the right way to think about it. I'd say based on this earnings season, I would expect earnings forecasts to start coming down. We've seen a little bit of that playing out already. But for now, I would, like you said, describe it as trimming rather than slashing. The outlooks from most companies have been on the cautious side. And recession views now are, I would say, are high enough conviction for most people in the market, and also near enough now for some analysts to cut their numbers in a more significant way. But at the same time, the current situation is still pretty good. You know, the backward-looking numbers being reported at the moment look decent. So is the current trading environment for most companies. So there's not really a reason for companies to sound super pessimistic today. Cautious, yes, but not pessimistic. And that company commentary in itself is a very powerful anchor for sell-side analysts to not cut their estimates much either, at this stage anyway. So I think the real shift in that will happen when the current situation deteriorates as well. We probably won't see that necessarily in company comments at the start, but more is something that will come through in macro growth data, PMIs, things like that. But overall, I think that means that, on average, analysts will be trimming their earnings forecasts, not slash. There will be some analysts that go all the way to recession forecasts. But I think for now, those will be the exception rather than the rule.
So we talked about a range of sectors and how they fared this quarter. Taking all that together, what does all of this mean for asset allocation? How are you positioned today?
The one line is that we're neutral on equities today. But I think it's fair to say that we're cautious generally in terms of our outlook. I don't think we are near the end of this bear market. It's difficult to argue, I think, that the market will price in a recovery after the recession, before the recession has even started. So that's maybe a little bit on how long this might last. But within a bear market, you get bear market rallies, as we have seen a couple of times already. Now, our approach would be to fade such rallies when sentiment indicators become more neutral. But I also think that the bear market will change in sort of the way it looks and feels a little bit over the next 6 months or so. I think most of the drawdown so far has been about derating on the back of much more aggressive rate hikes, sharply higher bond yields. But I think increasingly, I would expect the focus to turn to the recession itself and the earnings downgrades that come with that. And that means big changes in leadership within equities. So I expect cyclicals that have held up quite well so far, both on the earnings side, but also in terms of performance. I think they will be the part of the market where the adjustment that's to come is probably the greatest when the focus shifts to falling earnings. So I don't think the bear market is over, but I think what it looks like and feels like will probably change, and the leadership will change within equities.
Thanks, Lars, for talking to me today. Lots of food for thought there. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording, and do not reflect the views of Legal and General Investment Management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties, and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website. Copyright 2022. Legal and General Investment Management Limited. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, including photocopying and recording, without the written permission of the publishers. This material is issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, the licensed corporation BBB 488, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission, for professional investors only.